As we move into Saturday, Saturday's high mid-90s. Richard DeWetting at the Weather Channel for Town Square Media Tuscaloosa.
It's 88 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
Welcome into this Thursday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hope you guys are doing well. We've got a number of things we're going to talk about here on the show today. We'll dive into all of those, and we'll do that with a number of people. We've got, a day loaded with guests. We got Brandon Clear, of course. At the top of the hour, we got our guy, Mr. Adam Lamparello of Lamparello Law Education Advocacy. And I think we're supposed to have Clint Lamb join us again this Thursday. So we'll be loaded up, but it's going to be good, man. Really good conversations to be had. Chase, first and foremost, man, I hope you got some water in that studio. Now, I know normally during the winters, it gets really cold in there. I mean, I used to watch you have your little blankie in there to keep warm in there. Oh, looks like you got it. Is it still like that? Is it still super cool in there? Or is it, you know, during the summer when it's getting hot? Because I'll be honest, I was outside for a while this morning. It says 89 right here on my computer. Feels like it's dang near 100 degrees outside. How's the studio right now for you?
Oh my gosh, Christian. When the break comes, I'm speeding downstairs getting some water. I'm speeding back up because I am like parched. It is hot. I don't know why God turned the heater up this morning, but like I need him to turn that down.
Well, it's definitely on blast. So I did hear on the weather bed before we hit the show running that there's like dangerous heat outside. Now, 89 degrees doesn't really feel like dangerously hot. But when you step outside, you can totally understand why the meteorologists and the weather folks would be saying that. So hopefully if you guys are outside, man, you're staying hydrated, staying pretty cool. Because like I said, I was outside for a while this morning and it's hot. It's definitely hot. Hopefully those kids that are camping, because I think they're still doing some football camps and stuff right now over at the facility. Hopefully those guys are staying plenty hydrated. I can just go ahead and tell you guys already know this. I've mentioned this plenty of times. They do all the measures necessary to keep guys cool, right? Whether it's Jeff Allen walking around with some like futuristic looking jetpack, even though it's not a jetpack for him to fly. It just sprays water. The trailers that they converted into coolers for us. I mean, they got all type of gadgets and whatever you can think of, they've got it. So I'm sure those kids are good, but speaking of camps, man, I'm not going to lie. I was a little disappointed hearing what Cedric said about him yesterday when he was saying that the sun was up there and it just didn't really have that same, I don't know, feel to it, man. So hopefully, maybe it was just a one-off. I don't know. I hadn't been up there like Shob also said. I guess they're not even doing like the paid coaches stuff anymore. It's just so crazy, Chase. Like the Morgan, I know we hit that like before the show went off yesterday, but I was thinking about that after we got off air. Is it not crazy how NIL has like directly and indirectly affected so many different things? Like, it's like we're talking so much about the prices of these rosters going up, but then you're hearing about like the budget cuts and things that are being cut out. And you're like, dang, I don't think people really understand. Like, you know, paying these kids is such a priority that it's basically affecting everything else. And when you're saying like they don't have the coaches out there, because remember, I don't know if you know how this works, but they used to like hire high school coaches to come work the camps. Like they would help out and they would be, you know, like in the camps, basically instructing drills and all that. Hell, I used to go out there and help out some, but now it sounds like if you're up there, you're just pretty much doing it for free. Now, he did mention that there was, I think, a lot of players helping out. I'm sure they're kind of making them get their money's worth, which I don't blame them, right? If you're going to be paying these guys, make them work some camps. I think that's a very fair trade-off. But anyway, just kind of crazy to think about how all that has changed stuff. We'll talk about NIL and all a bunch of other stuff a little bit later. I want to get Adam's thoughts on a couple of different things. We'll talk with him at the top of the hour. We got to ask him our legal representation about the whole Sorsby situation. We've talked plenty about it ourselves, but I think it's important to have a lawyer do it, right, and educate us on basically the reality of really what is going on with this whole Sorsby situation, Chase, which I don't know if you've seen some of these updates, but you've got Cody Campbell, who is the head booster, right? We read his initial quote with his thoughts on everything. That was one thing. Chase, I had I had the opportunity to listen to him go on a podcast, I think not necessarily podcast, but Outkick, right? Which I've gone on there before, right? They cover sports and do a number of different things over there. He was being interviewed by Outkick, and his response, Chase, he had the audacity to just say the most outlandish, I guess, answer, given the whole Sorsby situation. I'm going to play it here in a minute. I think it's only like 40 seconds, that part. It was a long interview, but just that part alone, I had no choice but to respond to it on X. I guess I'm off my rocker again, man. I'm like, anytime if I respond to something on X, normally I like turn into the get off my grass kind of guy. Something really kind of hits a nerve, or I just don't have anything better to do in that moment, which I'm normally around the clock doing something. Sometimes I just have time. Yesterday, Chase, just hearing this guy's response, it really just struck a nerve, man. And I'm going to play it and I'll let you hear. But this whole Sorsby thing, I mean, we've been talking a lot about it, but the more, this is what I'm learning, Chase. The more that Texas Tech, not only him, but even their head coach, the more they come out to defend themselves, to defend the young man, which I get, I mean, it's expected, right? But to hear their excuses, well, I call them excuses, their reasons, but excuses for why they're doing what they're doing and all this, I mean, it's, I don't know. It's really bothering me. But we're going to ask our lawyer kind of his thoughts on this whole situation. Because remember, the NCAA is definitely going to push back some. They're going to see if they can maybe try to override this whole deal. I don't know if they'll have success or not. I guess that's to be determined. But Adam can definitely help us out a little bit more with that. Segueing into a whole different topic here for 2 seconds. That game last night, Chase, NBA Finals game. What do you make of that? Now, I know we have some people, again, speaking of Sorsby, gambling, all that stuff. I know people that put money on that game last night might have been raising some eyebrows. Definitely raising some hell if you bet on the Spurs, who, correct me if I'm wrong, were up around like 27 or something around the half, end up losing the game. De'Aaron Fox, a little bit of a bonehead, I guess, decision late in the game. I mean, Chase, tell me, you're wiping your eyes, man. Did you put money on the Spurs, man? You kind of reacting like you might have had a little wager on the Spurs, Chase. Talk to me. Do we have a Sorsby situation? Chase, do we need to sit you down and have an intervention, Chase? You seem a little upset. Because I don't think you're a Knicks fan or a Spurs fan.
No, I was talking to some of my Spurs buddies last night, and I think it was just utter disappointment, you know, from being up, you said 26, 27 and a half, they're hitting 14 plus threes, which is an NBA Finals record. And then the third quarter comes, they're doing their thing. Then the fourth quarter comes, Christian, and it's just, it's crazy. And I understand that, like, the Knicks are the Knicks, but, like, you can't give a team like that a chance, because they did it to the Cavs in the Eastern Conference Finals. And for players like Jalen Brunson and OG Anunoby and Karl Anthony Towns and Josh Hart, you know, they've played together for a while, so they understand. I saw the picture. They understand, you know, how to win and to do it at the Garden the way they did it. And then you had mentioned, I don't understand it. Like, De'Aaron Fox, huge fan of hand of his. I used to cover him when he was at Kentucky and when he was playing in Texas. I forgot what high school it was. He's a phenomenal player. And none against him personally. But you cannot, in that situation, try to outrun one of the most athletic players in the league, OG Anunoby, and think you're not going to get a LeBron chase down block with, I think it was like 8 seconds left. You're up by one. Dribble it out. Like, you're winning. Like, the momentum had already shifted, Christian. Like, it was like the Knicks were, like, already on that type of timing. And I'm like, come on. And then the last play, I don't want to get into that. So it was just utter chaos. But, yeah, I did not bet. I promise.
Hey, I mean, no one's judging. Listen, you know, as long as you're not, you know, running up $90,000 and betting on your own team, Chase, I think it's okay every now and then. It's a pretty common habit. Can definitely make the games more entertaining, just to do it responsibly. But here's the thing. It ended up being the greatest comeback in NBA Finals history. The Knicks were, in fact, trailing by 29 points, right? It was total at the most, 29 points, and they came all the way back. I mean, I remember just, I'll be honest with you, I checked out of it when I saw the score. I didn't even realize, I was like, yeah, you know, Spurs got the dub. They're about to even the series. You know, this is going to be interesting, man. Maybe Wemby is the one. Maybe Wemby's going to, you know, get himself this finals, you know, win a finals, right? He didn't win the MVP. I know he was a little salty about that, and understandably so. But, oh, man, I know Kylie. Now, he had a mistake in the finals as well. I mean, he had, you know what I'm saying, he's had some moments. I think Arthur put in the chat, man, maybe it is the inexperience, but I guess I would say this. When you play in these championship games, like when I talk about, like, you know, these defining moments and all the little details, man, like, you know, the further you get in the postseason, like, all these little things matter, man. All these little things matter. And I think sometimes, man, you can see that from teams that maybe haven't been there before. They don't have that same level of experience versus a team that might, even though the Knicks haven't been there in, you know, quite some time. But you get the point, right? The Spurs, they got some young guys on that team. So, I don't know, really, I guess somewhat interesting, entertaining. I mean, if you're talking about just like the shock factor of it, but also, like you said, I mean, kind of shaking your head. It almost is like, on one end, it is kind of entertaining. On the other end, it also feels just like that was such a bonehead kind of ending that it's like, even though there was a huge shock factor, it almost was left you kind of doing what you're doing, just shaking your head. I don't know. And I don't know if a bunch of you guys were watching or keeping up with it, but yeah, that was crazy. I mean, I guess you want some type of excitement. Do we call that excitement, Chase, or just it's so boneheadish of a, I guess, outcome or a finish that it's not as exciting as you would think it would be?
I think it's a mixture of both, Christian. I think there's excitement in it because it's like, it's never been done before. So you're like, oh my God, you're like, it's like a 10, 15, 12 run. Like, whoa, this might happen. But then like on the flip side, you're like, what did I just watch? Like you said, like I had tuned out too. Like I went to go make some dinner and then I came back and I'm like, what do you mean the Knicks are up? Like that, what was going on here? So yeah, I don't know. That's just sports for you at this point.
So we mentioned earlier, it's the biggest, I guess, finals, I guess, deficit that was overcome. It looks like just the biggest comebacks in the play-by-play era. In 2019, the Warriors were playing the Clippers. It was a 31-point deficit, but this follows it up, man. I mean, it was 29, but I don't think that wasn't a finals game. But still, in the finals, that is the biggest comeback ever, right? Next to that would have been, I think, in 2008, looks like the Celtics came back from a 24-point deficit against the Lakers. So 29 points, Chase. It's kind of crazy. I guess it's just a good lesson to learn, man. You can't ever take your foot off the gas. And two, man, you can't make bad decisions in critical moments, man. Like, that's why I can tell you one thing, man. One thing we did all the time is we prepared for like any and every single moment. I mean, you name it, we were doing it as a walkthrough. Part of our walkthrough was literally going over all these random little situations, the things that would hardly ever come up in a typical football game. Best believe, man, we would at least walk through it at some point. For example, and I hate to go to break on this one, but after that whole kick six thing against Auburn, you know what we did every single week to pretty much close out our game day walkthroughs? Take a wild guess. We would simulate like a kick six scenario, which I know people don't want to talk about that, but I'm just saying, like, after that game, like, because that happened in what, 2013? I got here in 2014. They implemented that in every single walkthrough to close out. We would basically, like, quote unquote, have somebody kick. And then, we would, like, the offense, they'd do the field goal stuff. They would cover the kick, right? Like, and everybody had their lanes, and we walk every single week. So you always got to prepare, man. You never know what can happen. All right, we got to hit timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling again. We got Brandon Clear at 11:30. We got Adam from Lamprother Law Education Advocacy at the top of the hour. And I think we'll get Clint Lamb on here at some point as well on this Thursday edition of the Miller's Edge. New name for it, by the way, Chase. Came up with a Thursday Blitz, man. We had Monday Madness talking Tuesday, Wild Card Wednesday. Thursday Blitz. Thought it was very fitting. And, of course, we got a free-for-all Friday. But we'll continue on this Thursday Blitz edition when we come back.
Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Lease a new 2026 Chrysler Pacifica Select for $421 a month for 42 months, $39.99 due at signing.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, We transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-914.
Experience is preferred but not required. Apply at CoviaCorp.com or call the Covia office at 205-758-8353.
The best sports talk in the state. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 1.9, 1230 WTBC. Chase, let's go ahead and jump right into it, right? So I mentioned, I know we've been talking about Sorsby and talking about Sorsby a little bit more and a little bit more, but hey, listen, man, I mean, it's the dog days of summer. We talked a lot about Bama yesterday, man. Had some fun playing some games and whatnot, but I saw this on the timeline, Chase, and we have to mention this, man. We have to mention this. Again, always going to be updates, always going to be more things coming out regarding this whole thing. Well, it appears that Texas Tech, you know, they can't just move in silence. They can't just do what they're going to do and just go about their business. And I get it. There's a lot of quote-unquote, I don't even know if I'd call it attacks, but you got Georgia and Nebraska, the Big Ten. I mean, they're coming together. They're talking about not scheduling Texas Tech. They're trying to come up with their own sense of punishment, right, for this situation, which, again, just a reminder, they took in a quarterback from the transfer portal who was betting over the last several years while he was in college, not just on random stuff, which he was, in fact, doing, but also on his own team, right? He's been, I guess, diagnosed with a, you know, an addiction with gambling, which is very, you know, again, we respect all those things, not discrediting that. However, rules are rules, and we all know in sports, Chase, one cardinal sin is, you know, you should never be affecting the integrity of the game, especially when it comes to, you know, gambling or, you know, cheating, certain things. Why people gave so much pushback on Michigan, right? Even just when the cheating scandals, like, we know, you know, the stuff that Georgia and other players, you know, get in trouble off the field, that's a problem, right? But it's not affecting directly like the outcomes or the integrity of the game. Still should not be happening, right? But people are human, people make mistakes. That said, Cody Campbell, the big old booster, who not only is he, you know, one of the biggest boosters in college athletics, but he's also one of the main, you know, figures leading the charge for change in college athletics, or at least he's supposed to be. He was on OutKick, I think yesterday, or maybe the day before, whenever it was, and he was basically discussing this whole matter. And this is what he had to say in defense of Texas Tech's decision to keep defending Brandon Sorsby and continuing on the path to have him eligible and be playing for their football team this upcoming season.
College football, if you're going to go strictly by integrity, and I've been very critical of Georgia, very critical about teams, including my own school at Indiana, that played a kid after a DUI. But I would say that as a coach, you know, I guess raised by a parent that was a principal in Gary, Indiana, and Coach Knight, I'd say at what point does actual integrity come in? And you say, look, dude, you bet on your team. We're going to take care of you, but you can't play.
Hey, look, but again, there are kids that are playing that have gotten DUIs, that have beaten up women. There are kids that have committed horrible acts. You know, I mean, nobody boycotted to play Penn State a few years ago when that horrible situation happened there. You know, I mean, it was...
Can I ask you then, why do you think people are wanting to boycott in this particular situation?
Well, it's because it's because the college football world doesn't think that Texas Tech should be as good as we are. You know, we've been a disruptor, just like Indiana has. And so we're a target. And we have been even before any of this started. Now, the volume has gone way up, and a lot of it's been directed at me and at Coach McGuire and at, you know, our university. But that's not fair. If this had happened at LSU, you know, people would say, it's LSU, you know, they're always going to kind of do what they do and, you know, they're going to keep playing. But it happened at Texas Tech and, you know, people don't want to compete with this. Of course, ADs and that in the Big 12 are saying crazy things and, you know, saying they don't want to play us. Well, they don't want to play us because they know he's good and they don't want us to be as competitive. They would want to have a better chance at winning the conference. So they're inherently conflicted in their opinion. And so, you know, again, we're going to do the right thing by this kid and we're going to follow the law.
Okay. I've had enough. Chase, listen, and then we got to hit its break soon and we'll be joined by Brandon Clear and we'll definitely elaborate even further. That was the clip that I heard yesterday, and I had to respond to it. I couldn't just sit there and listen. I mean, honest, number one, I couldn't believe what I was hearing coming from this guy. And two, I wasn't buying it for a second, Chase. This, number one, for this guy to make as much money as he does, I feel like you got to be somewhat smart. Granted, there's some people out there that aren't very smart people that own some big businesses, and they are pretty successful. However, I would imagine this guy's a pretty smart guy. There's no way this guy believes what he's saying. You're not going to convince me that he believes what he's saying. So I respond. I said, there's no way this guy believes a word he's saying. Schools didn't all of a sudden look to boycott Texas Tech because it's Texas Tech. Let me be clear and start with that. His whole premise, Chase, was, well, the only reason people are making a big deal out of this is because it's Texas Tech. Really? Chase, last time I heard, dude, I'll be honest with you. And maybe it's because we're in SEC country, which Texas, I mean, it's, you know, we got teams over in the state of Texas, but you get the point. They're a Big 12 team. They don't cross my mind. I don't think they cross many people's minds at all. Like, no disrespect to them. I'm just being honest. I really don't believe that people really pay that much attention to Texas Tech. Do they now? Because they're landing top recruits. They're paying the first softball player $1 million contract. Yeah. Does that probably bother some people? Yeah, it absolutely does. But for this guy to think, to really believe that the only reason people would consider boycotting and doing all this, and to be fair, I can see kind of what he's saying from, well, the severity of the crime. If you take away sports from it, yeah, I would agree with them. Gambling, again, I know the Bible says all sins are created equal. They have the same weight. However, in this world, if we were to say, gambling versus domestic violence, of course, domestic violence or any of the thing that he was mentioning, which was crazy for him to even bring up as a comparison, is way worse if we're talking about in a regular world situation. And it is, and even in the sports world, it's much worse. But you get the point. We're saying as it relates to sports, affecting the outcome of games or even just the integrity of the sport, there's a difference. I can understand how they could trick themselves into really believing what he's saying. But he's just got to understand, man, like, there's just certain boundaries, right? And I know it sounds like, the more I say it, I'm like, I could see how that would sound crazy. Oh, so you're defending somebody that, you know, assaults a woman or gets a, you know, DUI more so than a guy that has an addiction that led to him to gamble. I can hear how he would believe that. But it's not rocket science why other programs would not want to, you know, I guess, enable what they're doing. Because many people feel like what they just did or what they are doing has literally kind of, I guess, tipped that scale and has reached a point where it's just exceeded pretty much anything we've seen before, right? Because we all know how serious gambling in sports are. Pete Rose, I mean, go back and look. Terry Rozier, I mean, like, we're talking about this thing can turn federal and turn into prison sentences and really affect leagues and all types of stuff. We got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we'll continue to discuss this. We'll do it with Brandon Clear right here on the Miller's Edge, and we'll get y'all's thoughts, too. What do you guys think about this? Do you guys believe Mr. Campbell here that the only reason it's being made such a big deal is because it's the big, bad university of Texas, or Texas Tech University? If it was LSU, he thinks nobody would care. Nobody would bat an eye. That's the craziest thing I've heard. You know how much he would be on Lane Kiffin if he did that? What is this guy talking about? We got to hit a timeout for I just... This goes even further. Right here, you listen to the Miller's Edge. This Thursday, Blitz Edition. Tide
off. Select compact tractors sell in soon. Stop by Tuscaloosa Tractor at 3921 Skyland Boulevard East or go to Kubota.com.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are
experience is preferred but not required. Apply at CoviaCorp.com or call the Covia office at 205-758-8353.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info,
once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Meet your match on ZipRecruiter. Try it free.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Thursday edition of The Game starting at 2 p.m., we'll talk to Lance Cormier, former Alabama pitcher. Scott McClanahan, we'll talk with him about the road to Omaha. We'll talk to Rodney Orr, TiderInsider.com, and Bill Bender for the Sporting News College Football Guide. We'll do that starting at 2 p.m. here on The Game on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
Longest running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa, The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTBC. And streaming worldwide on the free Tide app. Catch every game and every moment right here. This is your home of Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC, we just heard from Mr. Cody Campbell, big old booster from Texas Tech, defending their decision to follow through with keeping Brandon Sorsby, a member of their team, anticipating him as the starting quarterback this upcoming season after he serves his two-game suspension, which they would have faced. I forgot the first school was such a small school, and the second one was Oregon State, Jamarcus Shepard's new squad, who historically has not been a very good program at all. That said, we got Brandon Clear on the line. I would love to get his thoughts because I know he's always very well-rounded, and he offers, you know, some clarity with a lot of stuff like this, and it's very reasonable. Brandon, hope you're doing well, man. Good Thursday to you. I want to jump right into this, man. Cody Campbell, have you had a chance to listen to the clip that we just played where he was basically defending Texas Tech and I guess his own decision to support Brandon Sorsby in continuing to play him this upcoming football season?
Hey, what's up, Christian? Those Edge family, sorry for the late delay joining, man. And yes, I have. And to be honest, it's a joke, right? Hey, we're at this point, and this is where I've been thinking through all the scenarios to where, again, Texas Tech is pulling out all the stops because they got a bunch of money. So you just saw, I don't know if you see, AG Ken Paxton was saying that if any Big 12 team refuses to play Texas Tech, they're going to be sued. So this is where they're getting it. So this is where I think the coaches around the league, the Power Four coaches, can make an example out of Texas Tech. In the coaches poll, which oftentimes the AP coaches poll, all these polls, they dictate oftentimes how the first college playoff rankings go, right? No one says that, but that's the reality of it, because these people that are on that panel, they don't get to watch all the games. If I'm the coaches poll, if I'm the AP, I'm all these, I'm not ranking Texas Tech in the top 25 as long as Sorsby's playing. So then you say, well, how can you do that? Well, you can ice out. We can't not play you, but we don't have to rank you. You can't sue us for not ranking you. There are teams that are in the Power Five conference that are undefeated that are not ranked, right? Because they'll look at the strength of schedule. They'll look at all these factors. And Texas Tech, they already don't play anybody. So that's one thing you can hold against, saying, hey, if you're refusing to remove this player who bet on games, who's going to question the integrity of the game, that if something happens, we don't know if what we're seeing is real, then we have to hold these people accountable, saying we're viewing them as an exhibition game. It won't count against us, win or lose, if they beat us, because they're playing with someone that is altering games. So where does it stop? So Texas Tech, you can be iced out. No, you can try to sue all you want to, but you can't force anyone to rank you anyway over, again, you can't rank. Rankings are subjective. So if that is the case, you just go ahead and ice them out that way, because they're threatening the lawsuits and all these other things, because you're bringing someone that's going to be impacting the integrity of the game. The NBA went through something very similar, man. This could be the death knell for your game. This is, they're like, well, the Coach Campbell, well, they let abusers and they let all these people play. You're like, you know, this kid made a mistake. He has a sickness. Well, if someone has a sickness, the one thing you don't do is put them in a field of play of the very thing that they were betting on. You keep them in the infrastructure, but you are accountable for consequences. So that ruling was a joke, because they're saying it'll be irreparable damage to him if he's not able to play. What do you mean irreparable damage? He bet on the games. He has insider information. You know, like, Christian, come on now. Like, again, with that year that you were hurt, I think you got hurt like the first game. And I'm on the team. And I'm like, hey, Christian, you know, look, he's balling. He's ready. And I know you hurt your ankle. And the next game, I place a prop bet because I know Christian's not playing. Even though I'm not playing, I know you're not going to play. So now I say, hey, this team is really good at, you know, passing the ball. We're going to have a reduction, because all we're going to have is Jennings. They're going to probably double Jennings, and we're going to see a reduction in the pass rush. That is giving me an advantage to bet on the game with insider information, even if I'm redshirting. So this is why it's such a – this is why people are like, why is this not a big deal? It's like, that is a big deal, man. Like, I have information that can help me prop up bets with family and friends that puts me at an advantage. And I'm telling you one thing that the betting public hates. They hate people that utilize insider information and they scope it out. That's why the feds are involved with the NBA going on with Terry Rozier. Because once you impact the integrity of the game and people don't believe what they're watching, now you become WWE. And you'll see a reduction, because people are like, well, this is not real. There's no real champion. He threw a pick. He threw a pick because he was up, right? He felt like he said plus 10, and he threw a pick because he wanted to make sure that he was able to get his dollar straight or get his prop bet for his dad straight. So that's where a lot of these people don't realize the impacts, the negativity that comes from betting on games, man. Like, it's the integrity of the game. And once you cross that line, and once you allow someone to only get 2-game suspension for doing it, it's going to open up the floodgates. And these young cats, man, these guys that are on scholarship but are not getting NIL money, you don't think they're going to be like, you don't think a shark is going to come and say, hey, man, hey, you know, this dude making $1 million, but you can make $1 million too. Like, look, go ahead, give me some information. That's what's going to happen, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, these young kids don't know any better. So, yeah, that's really what I'm feeling on it, bro.
No, and I agree with you. There's some more I was listening to the excuse for Mr. Campbell, and I'm like, I could understand how they could convince themselves, well, I mean, it's not a heinous crime, but the fact that it has such a harsh effect on the sport itself, they have to understand why people would view it in that light or that lens, right? Versus, I understand what he's saying. You mentioned like the Penn State stuff, or even I even brought up, you know, Michigan a few years ago. I mean, to their point, I don't recall people boycotting Michigan when the whole Connor Talty or Stallions. Was it Connor Stallions? Whatever. Yeah, Connor Stallions situation was going on. And I mean, he's got a point, but at the end of the day, this is a little bit different. And listen, people, I think, have finally hit a boiling point with the whole situation that we're in college athletics. I mean, there's no other guideline. So at this point, it's like the only option is to maybe step up. Let me ask you this. You mentioned them threatening to sue these schools, and I'm definitely going to ask Adam about this, our legal expert here on the show. But, I mean, do you think – how do you see this whole thing playing out? I mean, how do you think it ends up being resolved? You mentioned even saying, hey, we're just not going to rank Texas Tech, which I mentioned that yesterday, that if you did go that route, how would that work? Like, could you basically boycott them from, like, the playoff committee perspective? Like, how do you see this whole thing resolved? Do you think at the end of the day everything just ends up kind of – the dust settles like it always seems to happen. It always seems to happen. And then, of course, we just go on with our date. Or do you think people genuinely boycott Texas Tech and we see some type of action actually happen?
If you're the coaches and you don't band together to get around this, because it's hard to prove collusion. It's subjective. The whole thing that you would have to prove is saying they're punishing us because Brandon Sorensen's playing. How do you prove that? I don't think, look, so if I was a voter, I'm saying I don't think Texas Tech plays anybody and they're in a terrible conference. They're not a top 25 team. How are you going to sue me for my opinion? That's what the college playoff is, right? Those the review board, it's their opinion. Although they say we use metrics, we do. No, come on, man. They go like, hey, you know, this team, it feels like they're better than this team, so let's go ahead and rank them seven. That's what they're doing right now. So it's subjective. You can't sue somebody for their opinion. So when you do this, it's not going to be talked about. That's, I'm telling you, Christian, that's how these coaches handle. They do a lot of things, bro, that get handled that we don't see. You don't think Nick Saban calling around and people saying, hey, we got to make an example of these fools. Because if they do this now, they're going to be emboldened. And in the future, Texas Tech going to keep pushing the line because they got all this money. You can have all the money in the world, but if you don't have morals and values, man, people will humble you very quickly. Martha Stewart is a prime example of that. She had insider trade. She had all the money in the world, but she got some insider trading. What did they do? Threw her to the feds, right? Mm-hmm. So you can't sue someone for an opinion. And that's where Texas Tech is going to threaten. All these threats are going to piss people off. Sorry to use that language. Going to piss people off. And you're going to see coaches being like, all right, yeah, you know what? We're going to play you. But this game don't count for us. And so we're not going to hold teams. If they take a loss from Texas Tech, it's not going to count on their record. We're going to view it as like a zero. And we're going to not rank them. You can't – Sorensen definitely ain't going to be up for no Heisman, right? So, he could have all the passing records. They can go 10-0 or 11-0, whatever it is. They don't get into the playoffs. He doesn't get in a Heisman nomination, even though they might try to buy their way for him to get a Heisman. And then you, again, all the coaches have to band together because this is enough. Like, you can't have it to where your 101 player on your team is putting everything at risk and compromising the game because he wants to make a little bit of money because he's not getting NIL. That's what I'm not even worried about them. Top Sorensen has an addiction. Okay, cool. Get some help. It's those lower players that are not making the money. Those are the ones that are susceptible to making these dumb decisions, because as a teenage kid, if it's a quick win fix to be able to get money, then you don't think that some of these sharks, this is where you get corruption. You get the mob coming in. They don't want to get in this business, bro, because all it's going to take is one dumb kid to make a stupid investment and bet and get some broken kneecaps, and now the coaches and everybody looks like they're not taking care of the kids. So this is dangerous, bro. When you start talking about this kind of stuff, This is life or death type of stuff. I know it sounds ridiculous, but when it comes to money and these sharks and the betting and gambling, bro, they don't play with that money, man. So I'm telling you, it's opening up Pandora's box.
No, I agree. And that's what definitely is a little concerning about the whole, I guess, situation here, that, you know, he was able to just go to a local court and just get slapped on the wrist with two games with the severity of this in the sports world. And it's just kind of like they're going on with their day. And I agree with you. It could definitely maybe open up some other avenues, which we definitely don't want to see open. Brandon, I do want to ask you real quick. I want to segue to Alabama because I got a question regarding recruiting for you. I know a lot of people, and we talked with Andrew Bone kind of about the status of where things stand. Alabama's sitting currently outside the top 25 in recruiting. They've got a five-star in Elijah Haven, but outside of him, they got, I think, a couple four-stars, but a number of their recruits have been more like the three-star range. They've talked about taking a smaller class. Their approach is probably a little bit different this season. I've seen a number of fans on X and online that don't seem very, I guess, content with what they've seen so far via recruiting. From your perspective, how do you assess kind of what Alabama's doing right now? Do you feel like it's all part of their plan? Do you feel like they're coming up short right now? I mean, what's your gauge on the status of Alabama's recruiting?
I think it's great because they're going for quality, not quantity. They have needs. They have a lot of players that are most likely to return on this team, man. And again, everyone wants the five-star. But in my opinion, the investment on getting a couple five-stars, you might have some larger classes, but retention is where it's at. The Ohio State, when they won the championship, man, they had a lot of retention on that team. They did bring in a Caleb Downs. They did bring in a Howard, right? Like, they brought in some players that were Judkins. They brought in some players that could help. But overall core of their team was retention. And so Alabama is really doubling down on what I think is the most sound approach, because Indiana also proved that as well. The majority of their players they brought in, it was retention under Kurt Cignetti at his previous stop, and he brought a lot of those guys over. But in some of those key positions, he was able to go ahead and hit the portal and bring in some of those players. High school recruiting is still valuable because I do believe you need to bring in the talent. This is going to be a smaller class, but it's intentional because they want to make sure that they're not losing out on players that they put a lot of time, money, and energy into building just for them to leave because they're getting all of a sudden 25 is the typical number for a recruiting class, bringing them in, and you're almost over-recruiting. And it's like putting too much pressure on the players that are still within the line of potentially being next up. It just requires more development. So if I'm talking to my fans, don't worry about the recruiting rankings right now. Look at the quality of people that they're bringing in. They have five stars, but if you look at USC when they were number one a couple years ago, they had a whole bunch of three stars on there. So they brought in 32. I think they had a class of 32, which is absurd. And they brought in 32 players. And you really think your team is going to be successful if you're made up of a whole bunch of freshmen? Ask Texas A&M. Ask USC. It's not happening. So you have to be – Courtney Morgan and them have a sound approach. I have confidence because I'm seeing the development, and they identify players that I deem as impact players that can come in and play. That's what their focus has been on, and then they focus on the retention. So you'll always see them tinkering back and forth in the portal and all those things, but they're not relying upon the portal. They're not relying upon trying to find a savior. They're looking for quality players that can come in, add depth, but also can be future starters. But they also want impact players immediately. So that's their approach. I think it's a sound one. I think the fans just got to chill on it. Don't worry about the 25 ranking. If you got five-star quarterback, four-star quarterback, and you got certain positions, I don't need to bring in 10 offensive linemen when I got 16 on the roster. That'd be idiotic. Why would I do that? Offensive line, you want older players. You don't want freshmen. If I wanted freshmen, I would look how, what is his name, Ty Haywood? He was a freshman. Michigan paid him all that money. Where is he at? Alabama. So, like, be careful, man. You start paying these young kids money, and all of a sudden, you know, they're only loyal to you because you paid them, and then all of a sudden they don't meet the standard, and you bring in someone else that maybe costs less, and they're more impactful. You just lost out on your money, and you also most likely lost on the prospect because they're going to leave. So, again, Alabama's retention rate is extremely high. So don't think that that's absurd within this climate, man. That's rare. And there's certain programs that can do it. Ohio State's been able to do it at a high clip. Alabama, Georgia, like, there's teams that have done a really good job at that. Don't look at the Texas Techs. And I'm telling you, Texas, it's going to come to roost with them, man. You can't just buy your way to wins and think it's going to sustain because it's going to eat the team is going to eat itself with inside because how guys get money. It's just how it goes, man. It's not the NFL. It's not the pros. So if I've been there, I put the time in, I'm a high performer, and I hear you paid somebody $5 million and you paying me $700,000, we got a problem. You're going to come up off that money or I'm going to leave. You know what I'm saying? So now you have a overarching problem where all your money's within these core 22 players, but you have no depth. So again, South Carolina's going to find out very soon because they put all that money in a couple positions, but they didn't spread the wealth. So, you know, I think that a lot of fans just need to be careful what they ask for and wish for, because you're going to end up in a situation where they're going throwing out wasting money, and we don't got Texas oil money. We have money that is good. We are competitive. But we don't have an absorbent amount of funds we can just throw to win on a five-star prospect that may or may not stick around.
No, that's a very fair point. And I agree with most of what you say. The only question that I have would be in a situation where it's in terms of, you know, and not just off of star rankings, but for example, I think I forgot who it was, forgot the kid's name, but people are saying that he was a prime target for us at outside linebacker. So, of course, I was curious. I was like, let me go watch his tape. And I'm just going to be honest with you, man. The tape was not good at all. It definitely felt like he was more of a project guy. And then I look at kind of where our Wolf room is going to stand next year, even though I anticipate Xavier Griffin probably getting a number of snaps at outside backer, you know, throughout the years, right? I think he'll help out in that room. I still was just like, man, I think you could really benefit from getting, you know, a little bit better quality at that spot, knowing that it's going to be important. It's a very important position. And then just knowing that we've been a little conservative in the portal, I'm just curious. I'm like, I even went back and watched. I'm like, all right, so let me look at some of these other highly ranked edge guys, because I don't know anything about recruiting. So I watched tape of like the top three edge guys. I know stars don't mean stuff, but I'm just telling you right now, there's a clear difference between those top three edge guys that I watched and the guy that we are pursuing. And so my thing is, if we're going to take guys like that and develop developmental pieces and more, I guess, guys that you're kind of just trying to get depth and bodies for, I hope they're changing their approach in the portal where they'll be more aggressive at maybe some higher impact players from the portal. Because this past class, I think you'll have a lot of guys that contribute, but I definitely think the strategy was more so we're going to try to find like the best bang for our buck, which is not bad. But I think you got to at some point kind of turn up the heat a little bit if you want to keep up with these other programs. Just my opinion. And I think we'll know more as the time goes on.
But Christian, that's more indicative of the class that they just brought in as opposed to what they need right now, right? So, you know, Xavier Griffin's probably a year away. He'll be a situational player, but he's going to develop into that. But I pose this question to you. Based off of your tape when you were in a high school senior, when they were pursuing you, did they know that you had the ability to potentially get to where you eventually ended? Yes, right? So I wouldn't call it taking a flyer. They were just like, hey, we've got guys here that are here right now that can really hold the fort down that we're going to be retaining. We need time and we need depth, but we don't necessarily need another Xavier Griffin. We already have one. And this guy is going to be a transformational type of player. But again, this is a new mindset, whereas in the past you would have a Will Sanders, you would have all these types of players that could just kind of sit on the bench and ride it, but that we don't have that anymore, right? The transfer portal took that away. So you have to be forward thinking and saying, how do I retain a Xavier Griffin without recruiting another Xavier Griffin? Because now that might cause an issue, right? So I get where you're coming from. I do agree with it. Like the one player that they're pursuing, he's okay. Maybe they saw something in camp that we just didn't see. Maybe he was dealing with an injury on tape. I agree with you. Like, his tape wasn't that impressive. But something they saw, and I got to give them a benefit of the doubt, bro. I've seen the players that they've been putting on the field, and clearly they know what they're doing. Like, you got to call us. London Simmons, he was a three-star.
But if you watch him in camp, though, see, you could just tell, you know what I mean? Like, and I haven't seen this guy in camp, but the film, at least I saw, was just, I don't know, man.
But I agree with you.
I get what you're saying. They have done a good job in terms of evaluating talent, signing guys that maybe weren't ranked the highest, but ended up being much better football players than their rankings had ultimately said. I agree with you on that front. I don't know. To me, I'm just like, I don't know. I guess
they need dudes, man. That's what you're saying. Bro, it looks like, hey, all that's good.
I guess what I'm saying is, listen, if you know your offensive line was terrible and you really need to just turn that around, like, go all in on that edge. You know you struggle with pass rush. I just don't think you should, you know, be budget shopping for an edge position where your pass rush has struggled. That's just my only thing. I question. That's the only thing.
That's a fair point.
Maybe they know more than I do. We're just sitting here talking.
I watched another game of yours, bro. When y'all played LSU, I was like, nah, Chris doesn't know what he's talking about. Anybody all the Bills ass family, man, y'all might have short mindsets. I have been on a kick, man. Like once a night, I will literally throw on one of these games from 2018. What did he say? I'm like, oh, this Christian was nice with it. I was like, what? And they were like, oh, Christian, you know, last year he was dealing with injury. I was like, bro, I didn't know. Look, you, because again, we're on a you know, first name basis, bro. You and I talk. I'm like, man, he was that dude. I'm looking at it. I'm like, don't push that aside, bro. Like, what you say is true. You were a defensive end, outside linebacker. Like, you know exactly what to look for. I was a receiver.
So I'm going to have deference to what you're saying because you know what the hell you're talking about. And you did it at the highest level, man. Like, that's where a lot of people just discount that. That's not. So that makes me want to say, like, I need to go back and reassess it and be honest with it, say, like, Christian is seeing something. I need to be able to say that I need to come off that point. It's not definitive, but he is coming with a perspective because he did it at the highest level. So anybody that says that, it's not like you're trying to little bro people say, oh, man, look at my film. It's like, I'm seeing you on film do exactly what you're saying they need to look for. I need to reassess what the hell I'm talking about, right? And so you can change your point, bro.
I appreciate you, brother. No, listen, don't ask me to break down wide receivers. That's why we get you on here.
I know
something. And listen, I go off of what I saw Amari Cooper and Calvin Ridley and those guys doing and what made them successful. But, brother, I was not stopping on a dime, and I was not, you know, running digs in posts and slants. So I leave that to you guys. Let you gentlemen talk about that. Hey, Brandon, I appreciate you, bro, as always, man. Great stuff, my guy.
Always. Mills Edge family. Talk to y'all next week. Hey, apologies again, Christian. That won't happen again, bro. And I'll talk to you, man.
You are good, brother. You're good, man. We look forward to next week, man.
Hey, thanks, brother. Talk to you later.
Yes, sir. Sounds good, man. Brandon Clear, man, we appreciate him, man. Good stuff as always. Excuse me. Top of the hour break. When we come back, we keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Monsi Bolaños.
The New York Knicks are one win away from an NBA championship after completing the greatest comeback in NBA Finals history. They were down 29 and came all the way back to defeat the Spurs 107-106. OG Anunoby had the tip in after a Jalen Brunson miss that gave New York the lead with 1.2 seconds left. Anunoby also hit 7 threes and ended with 33 points. Brunson was the leading scorer of the game with 36 points. Game 5 will be on Saturday back in San Antonio. The Stanley Cup Final continues on Thursday with Game 5 between the Hurricanes and the Golden Knights. The puck is set to drop at 8 Eastern and the series is tied at 2 apiece. The FIFA World Cup also starts on Thursday with two matches out of Group A. First, Mexico takes on South Africa at 3 Eastern. Then South Korea takes on Czechia at 10 Eastern. And in baseball, the White Sox held on 2-1 against the Braves. Chicago is in first place in the AL Central.
Go inside the Alabama Crimson Tide with the Gary Harris Show.
Hey, everybody, it's Gary Harris. Friday morning at 9 a.m., it's the TGIF edition of the Gary Harris Show. We always have a lot of fun. We're going to get you ready for the College World Series, Alabama versus Oklahoma on Saturday. Rob Vaughn, Crimson Tide head coach, will join us live from Omaha at 10 a.m., plus other special guests and your phone calls and that great weekend music. That's Friday morning at 9 a.m.
Catch the Gary Harris Show.
Call 800-8000 or visit meswins.com. I've got this.
No representations made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-914.
Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 6/24 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Law, Education, and Advocacy.
Proud from our home base in Birmingham, Alabama.
We are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
And knocked down again. It was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Big thanks to Mr. Brandon Clear, who joined us on the phone lines a second ago. Always enjoy having him on here. Really good stuff, Chase. Always very reasonable, very, very well thought out, and very clear with all the knowledge that he brings. We're going to have Adam join us tomorrow. Adam's got some stuff he's working on with a client. Would much rather him take care of business there, because that's a little bit more important than hanging out with us. So we'll have Adam on. And it works perfect. It spreads things out, because we got Clint Lamb coming up here in about 20 minutes or so at 12:30, which is perfect. So we'll keep on rolling. In the meantime, Chase, I didn't get your thoughts yet. I know I'm kind of bouncing around. We're talking a little bit about recruiting, but initially we were talking about this whole Sorsby thing. Let me ask you this. Brandon mentioned some of the, I guess the options that we're seeing being thrown around, some of the decisions being made by other schools, basically saying, hey, we're going to tell our athletic departments not to schedule these guys. Texas Tech comes out. They say, hey, if you guys take that route, we'll see you in court. And it's just getting very messy, Chase. It's getting very messy. I'm going to ask you like I asked him. How do you see this whole thing playing out? He even threw out there that maybe the college football playoff committee could boycott a little bit and say, hey, we're not going to rank Texas Tech. I know Brandon said there's nothing they can really do about it, because technically it's somewhat subjective, because you have a committee, right, coming together and giving their analysis. But we all know if that were to be the case, Texas Tech would find some way to sue the hell out of the college football. But it would be an issue. I think so, at least. Do you think people follow through with what we're seeing now? Do you think it's just a little bit of smoke, the whole, hey, we're not going to try to schedule them? How do you see this whole thing playing out? Personally, I'll be honest, Chase, I feel like you might have a couple programs like not really want to schedule them like that, but I think they're going to go about their business. I think they're going to play this football season. He's going to be there. People are going to complain. But I think it's probably going to be similar to maybe like the whole Michigan deal. Like, you know, Michigan, people had an issue with them, but it kind of just was what it was. Now, the NCAA actually handed them a penalty. Can they just go back and file? Can Michigan file an injunction about their penalties at this point? Can they take it to court and just have all that stuff expire. I don't know. How do you see this thing playing out, Chase?
I think some of the teams that are putting this out there, I think they'll walk it back a little bit because, you know, you don't want to put that on yourself where you can't afford to have that. Texas Tech, to a degree, they are the big bad evil right now. And having them on your schedule that attracts viewers, that attracts money, like that's just the camaraderie of all of it. But like a big program, in the Big 12 or outside conferences that can afford that, yeah, I think they'll stick to it. And if they get sued, they have their own lawyers, they have their own teams for that nature, and they'll be fine. But I think the more we go down this road of teams and ADs and so many people that don't want to play Texas Tech, I just feel like Texas Tech might try to leave the conference and start their own little thing. Because if they're not getting picked in their own conference, is there going to be any games? Is, you know, will players leave? You know, if they're not getting the uncertainty of that, that can kind of ruin that a little bit. Head coaches, like, there's so much that's getting factored into this that people don't realize. That's why I laughed when you played the clip earlier, because this man is digging a deeper hole that I don't think he can get out of. You know, I feel like he's deflecting a lot of what is their fault. Like, you had to have known what was going on behind the scenes to get to this point. You didn't shy away from it. There was, maybe they've had conversations behind closed doors about what Mr. Sorsby is going through, but it's kind of deflecting, you know, like if this is LSU, you know, relating it to domestic violence, and Texas Tech is the new bad boys of college sports, and everybody just doesn't like Texas Tech, and all these excuses. But I didn't hear we fell in this area, and I could see why this could be a problem, or, you know, gambling is such a big issue now. Even the pros, they don't play about that. You know, like you said, Terry Rozier and so many other cases. I just feel like Texas Tech is going to get outlawed really badly, and I don't know how they're going to come back from this. And to say Michigan's out the clear. I haven't heard anything about Michigan lately. It's all been about Texas Tech, and they're just one comment after another and another and another, and it's just, they're just digging a hole they can't get out of.
That's what it definitely feels like. But that's why part of me, though, too, Chase, I just almost like, it almost just feels like, just like the Michigan stuff, like we haven't heard as much about Michigan. I know they were handed a penalty and all that stuff. I can't remember suspensions or clauses or whatever the final verdict was, but I feel like this is eventually going to just kind of be like everything else where the dust settles and we all kind of just move on from it. But I just wonder if there is a chance, with as much barking that's going on, if there will be any everlasting decisions made that stem from this whole deal. In terms of the latest from this whole saga, now the Big 12 is being threatened by the Texas Attorney General, not just some, and I don't know, maybe he has some ties to Texas Tech, but the Attorney General, Chase, of the state of Texas is actually threatening the Big 12 if there are any league sanctions for Texas Tech amid this whole thing. So it definitely is getting a little ugly. And I don't know, again, we'll get Adam's thoughts on all this because he knows a lot more about the legality of this than we would. But it appears that he sent a letter, I guess, that was issued to all Big 12 officials, and it was threatening legal action if the sanctions if there are sanctions for the Red Raiders, and it even suggested seeking substantially more than $200 million from both the Big 12 and its other members for any lawsuit that results from their potential action. So they're definitely trying to kind of puff their chest out and make it clear before any other actions are taken from other schools that they will, in fact, respond with even stronger actions. That's a little wild, the turn that this whole thing has taken. We got to take a time out. We come back, we keep on talking again. We got Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson coming up at 12:30. Plus, we'll dive into a few more things. I see there's still some more comments on the whole recruiting discussion, so maybe we'll circle back to that. And more right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 12:30 WTVC. Quick time out. Don't go anywhere. Be right back.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation.
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping
900-9000 for a free consultation, no fees unless we win. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be formed is greater than that of other lawyers.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance, you can...
It's quick, it's easy, and it's free. Go to MyLocalCustomers.com today.
That's MyLocalCustomers.com. MyLocalCustomers.com.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. Sunny, dangerously hot here this afternoon with highs in the mid-90s. Heat index values near 105. Southwest winds light. Tonight, warm and muggy. Clear skies, 75. Friday, intense heat persists with sunshine, mid-90s. Slight chance of afternoon thunderstorms tomorrow. Better shot at storms as we move into Saturday. Saturday's high, mid-90s. Richard DeWetting at the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 93 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The flagship station for Alabama Crimson Tide football.
Alabama touchdown.
Only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Thursday Blitz edition. I got to get used to saying that, Chase. The Thursday Blitz edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We got Clint Lamb coming up in a few minutes, but speaking of Clint, looks like somebody responded to one of his tweets with a video of some recruits talking. I don't know. I haven't watched this video yet, but I was reading the subtitles, and it was a little interesting. Let's see what this clip had to play, but it sounded like, I don't know, it sounded like they were maybe insisting that Alabama was broke. I don't know. Let's give it a listen.
Bama is broke.
What?
Bama is broke.
Why would y'all pick the SEC over the Big Ten in today's game?
Because we got like the Bamas, the Georgias, bro. You can't go wrong with Bama, Georgia.
What exactly does that mean, though?
They powerhouse.
Okay. They got powerhouses, too.
I know. The SEC is better. They got better teams.
Do they have more money, though?
Bama is broke.
What?
Bama is broke.
Oh, no.
Take
it away, Will, please.
It's the Big Ten just because of the Oregon Ducks. It doesn't matter about any other team. National championship incoming. Dante Moore, first-round pick, and Heisman winner. That's all we need.
You think Dante Moore going to win the Heisman?
Yes.
Chase? I don't know who that young man was, or I don't know who the young men, I should say, in the clip were. I'm assuming they're recruits. One of them just flat out said Alabama was broke, though, but he was also the one defending the SEC. But I think he was saying in the sense that, I don't know, I mean, I don't know, it's kind of crazy, though. What do you make of that? I mean, let's just say that is we're assuming he's a recruit, right? Maybe he's a top recruit. I'm sure, I mean, if he's making that statement, I'm sure there's a reason he's saying that. Are we buying into what he's saying? I mean, do you know any more context from this? I think QD just tagged us in this. I don't know who the young man is. Do you know anything about this?
No, this is the first of me hearing about this, Christian. I don't know. I hope this recruit is one of a kind because one thing I've learned is the internet's forever. So I hope he doesn't face Bama down the road. Call him. I don't know, Christian. It seems like he's kind of trolling a little bit. I don't think he would put out. I know he's probably smart enough not to put information like that, especially in this NIL era where like they're working tremendously hard too. obtain so much money and generate so much money to have recruits like that. But I think that's very telling that he boldly, he said it twice, that Bama's broke.
But what's weird, though, Chase, is that he was initially like, he was defending the SEC, right? Because he was the one that said, because the initial question was, why do people still, hold on, let's play it again. It's like 20 seconds. Let's play this again.
Broke.
What?
Bama is broke.
Why would y'all pick the SEC over the Big Ten in today's game?
Because we got like the Bamas, the Georgias, bro.
So that's the kid that just said that, by the way. He said we got, so he's an SEC kid, right? Does anybody, let me ask the chat. Hopefully you guys, do y'all know who this guy is? I'm going to look him up. I'm just curious, like who he's getting recruited by, whatever the case might be. Anyway, I think he was saying that, Chase, almost maybe defending like why people still choose them. I think he was saying Bama's broke, meaning they're not paying the money other places are paying. The other places are paying, but they're still powerhouses. I think that's the point he was trying to convey here. But he flat out said Bama's broke. Hold on.
You can't go wrong with Bama, Georgia.
What exactly is...
Yeah, see, he can't go wrong with Bama, Georgia. So he obviously respects the programs, but then he goes...
What does that mean, though?
They powerhouse.
Okay. They got powerhouses, too.
I know. The SEC is better. They got better teams.
Did they have more money, though?
Bama is broke.
Okay, so in that context, Chase, the other gentleman asked him, do they have more money? I think he was saying that in the sense that Alabama's not paying money like that. So while on first listen, it does sound like he's kind of dissing Alabama. I don't think he's dissing Alabama. I think he was saying from the sense, because again, he was supporting the SEC in Alabama. I think he's just saying they're not handing out money like that, which, to be fair, I mean, we've talked about on this show, and I think it's pretty common knowledge. Matter of fact, I think Greg Byrne has mentioned it. You know, they're not looking to necessarily get into bidding wars and just, and Courtney Morgan's even said it, right? They're not just going to just offer blank checks. And so maybe that young man's interpretation is Bama's broke. Now, is Bama broke? Absolutely not. I mean, a $24 million roster is not broke. Choosing how you spend it and doing it wisely doesn't insist necessarily you're broke. It's just you're not going to go to the same lengths that some of these other schools might go to. And I think that's fair. I want to know who the young man is, though. I'm curious. Like, does he have an offer from Alabama? Like, does he really know? I mean, he's talking like he does. Kind of crazy that the stuff that comes out on social media nowadays, Chase, is just kind of wild. My thing is, if he wanted to come to Alabama, I don't know if I was a recruit, if I wanted to go to Alabama, I don't know if I would be the one to be saying that on an interview like that. That could kind of come off a little disrespectful. Maybe this is what we'll do. You know, AI is a crazy thing. Maybe we'll take a picture of like that video and then see if AI can point him out. Maybe. I really don't matter much. I don't know. I'm just really curious now. I feel like I just want to figure out who the young man is. Anyway, sounds like the other guys were definitely Big Ten folks. Some NFL news real quick before we hit this break, before we have Clint join us. The Broncos and Sean Payton have reached an agreement, 5-year contract agreement. He's led the Broncos to third most wins in NFL over the past, led the Broncos to the third most wins in NFL over the past 2 years. Including an appearance in last year's AFC Championship game. Sorry, I had to read that right. Chase, I mean, you're from New Orleans area. I mean, I think you're a Saints fan, right? How does it feel to see your former coach, man, get extended by the Broncos?
Kind of in the middle a little bit. I feel like his last few years with New Orleans were bittersweet. You know, I feel like there was a little more meat left on the bone. But for Sean to revitalize his head coaching career and really do some significant things with John Elway and with Bo Nix and so many great pieces on Denver's team, it's nice to see that. Sean's very intelligent. He knows the X's and O's. He knows how to put his team in position to win, hence why you've seen a huge turnaround since he's gotten there. But I'm happy for him, and honestly, it keeps the AFC West in some interesting times because the Chiefs are not the darlings anymore. They've kind of been in the middle of the fray a little bit now, so I feel like this is the time for Denver to strike again and be able to be back on top, like when Peyton Manning was there and John Elway was there.
Yeah, they definitely were a solid team last season. Hopefully they can build off that. I've heard like split reviews on Sean Payton from guys that have played for him. I feel like he's kind of split, man. I don't know. I don't know if he's the most popular guy amongst players, but I mean, I don't know. Good for him, though. 5-year extension. That's a nice little bag for him. I don't know if they said all the details, but I'm sure it's a nice little penny. Shout out to Sean Payton. All right, we got to hit a timeout. We come back. We'll be joined by Clint Lamb. We'll cover Crimson Talk, some more Alabama football news, updates, recruiting, all that good stuff. Coming up right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Quick timeout. Clint, join us when we come back.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-91.
With Rez Run, Iron Warrior, Volleyball, and the Cornhole Tournament. Visit ChoctawIndianFair.com and like us on Facebook.
Hope to see you there. Hachapisa lajige.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more information, that's 800-923-6829. What do you have to lose? Call 800-923-6829. Again, 800-923-6829.
Tide 100.9. For more coverage of Alabama football, visit us at Tide100.9.com or download the free Tide 100.9 app.
The Crimson Tide will not be denied.
Thursday Blitz edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC, back to the phone lines we go. We're joined by our next guest, Mr. Clint Lamb of Cover Crimson. Clint, welcome in, man. Good Thursday to you.
Yeah, man. How you doing today, Christian?
Man, can't complain, man. Another day, another dollar. Clint, we've been talking about another random conversation. And I wouldn't call it random. It's the college sports world. And I know you like to stick to the X and O's, but I got to ask you just because I respect your opinion, man. I want to know. The madness with this Sorsby situation where Texas Tech is now threatening to sue schools that have come out and said, hey, we're going to look at maybe not scheduling these guys. And not just with football, I think, just period. But it's getting messy. But I guess my question to you is, I don't know if you had a chance to hear this clip, but we listened to it earlier. Cody Campbell, man, he's supposed to be leading the charge or one of the key figures in saving college athletics. And now he's going on podcasts and shows and defending the situation and basically saying, hey, you know, we're going to do what's best for this kid. And, well, why shouldn't we? You got Georgia kids getting DUIs. And look at the Penn State situation. Nobody boycotted those guys, as if he doesn't understand how this young man's actions directly affect the integrity of the game and kind of almost – what feels like they hit a breaking point with kind of all the madness that we're seeing. Have you had a chance to hear any of that or see all the stuff going on? What do you make of this whole situation and where it's gotten to with Texas Tech?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I have heard. And last I checked, Jerry Sandusky, I don't know if he's passed away or not, but I'm pretty sure time in jail for the things he did at Penn State. So to make a comparison, all these people who were, you know, I understand some people have questioned as far as the speeding, you know, at Georgia. And I haven't kept up with who all has done it, what their punishments were. But typically when someone does something they're not supposed to, they're supposed to face consequences. And I don't know why everybody feels like that this kid, yeah, I understand gambling addiction is a very real thing. I mean, I've known people personally who have dealt with it. I respect that. I understand it completely. But at the same time, when you were in a position like he was in, you've got to understand that it's not just about what he was particularly doing. It's about the perception and protecting the integrity of the game as a whole. And you already have people who will question everything, whether it be college, NFL, NBA. How often do we get the "it's rigged" type of comments, you know, with people with their tinfoil hats kind of questioning, you know, if a ref does something like, I don't remember the ref's name, but the NBA referee who, you know, got caught doing some of this stuff. Like, anytime that happens, people are going to have massive questions. And so that's why it's always been protected like it has been. I don't understand. You know, Nate Oates did it the way you were supposed to. He did try to go to bat for his guy. You know, they ended up, you know, making it to where he was temporarily eligible. Once that ruling came down, though, he stood by his guy and he said, you know, that whether he's actually playing for us on the court or not, we're going to be stand next to him. That's supporting your guy, not pretty much, hey, Texas Tech fans and Cody Campbell and all these people, as long as he's going to be playing for us and helping us out on Saturdays, we're going to support him in any way possible. Support can look a lot of different ways. And I feel like right now, it does feel like a lot of Texas Tech fans, let him get ruled ineligible, and we'll see how exactly loyal they are to him, because a lot of that loyalty is based off of what they think he's going to be able to help them do this season. And that's the sad truth of it. I understand it to a certain extent. That's the way everybody would pretty much behave to an extent. But this whole, you know, trying to make comparisons to Georgia and Penn State, I just think you know, they're grasping at straws, and I don't know who's running the PR department there at Texas Tech, but they need to get somebody in there and say, hey, why don't we just shut up for about 48 hours and let's let some of this stuff settle down and come up with a plan, because right now it's all over the place.
Yeah, it feels like they're just digging the hole even deeper, and I get it. Anybody's going to look to defend, you know, their decisions and protect their interests, but at the same time, like you said, sometimes better just to let the dust settle some and let things kind of iron themselves out and then move accordingly. But yeah, clearly whoever is in charge, the SID or whoever they got over there, is not really doing them much of a service at this point. Clint, I want to ask you about, I know we talked a little bit about some of these preseason rankings, but somebody that I respect a lot, Chris Lowe of On3, good friend of ours here on the show. He did some SEC power rankings. Alabama is at number 7 on his spot. And we broke them down and kind of went over, you know, the teams ahead of Alabama. And it, for me, at least, there was only maybe a couple that I could really say that I could confidently bump Alabama above, maybe. But I'll be honest with you, I thought it was, it wasn't too bad of a list, like some maybe have thought. Did you get a chance to see Chris's entire, I guess, SEC power rankings right now where they stand? And if so, what did you think about Alabama coming in at number 7?
Yeah, you know, I have seen them, and I got a lot of respect for Chris. And Chris, I know Chris has a lot of respect for Alabama, you know, whether it was Nick Saban running the show or Kalen DeBoer. So he's not one of those types of media personalities where you feel like he's got an axe to grind, or he's, you know, I don't think anybody's ever going to accuse Chris of, you know, trying to come at their program unfairly or unjustly. You know, but I think when he looks at Alabama, there are a lot of question marks from a returning production standpoint, and that's typically been a pretty important factor when it comes to the success or lack thereof for a team. I mean, Alabama, there is a lot of changes at quarterback. Your leading running back's gone, or at least the one that you were expecting to be your leading running back. Jermaine Bernard was your leading receiver, your leading tight end. You lose a few offensive, there's actually several offensive linemen, including, you know, some NFL caliber players like Parker Brailsford and Caden Proctor. Defensively, lose a lot of five-star talent up front, some guys to the NFL. I get it. You know, all three of your top linebackers. But at the same time, it's not in this, you know, current era of college football, it's not just about what you lost, it's what you still got and what you added. And I think one of the key things, that's, if you look at Alabama and you say, okay, who do they got coming back? Okay, not a lot of people. All right, well, let's go look at the high school recruiting ranking. Hey, that's pretty respectable, number 2 or number 3, whatever it was this past season. That's strong, but these are young guys. We're not probably going to expect them to be any sort of significant contributors. That's more of a help for 2027 and beyond, you know, healthier roster. Okay, what about the transfer portal? And if you look simply at those transfer portal rankings, I mean, there's too many players in the portal. It's too difficult for just a handful of people to evaluate all of them. I would like to know how many people actually got their eyes on Rayson Delgado and watched him at Cal Poly. Because when I watched him, there are some questions, you know, from a size perspective, a strength perspective. you know, he had some work to do as far as the weight room and everything else. But I saw a player who liked to get after people. He's a phenomenal mover. Seems like he's going to be a perfect fit schematically, a nice replacement for Parker Brelsford. But where was he rated in the transfer portal rankings? So they look at that and they don't understand that. I know Alabama certainly feels like they got a very underrated crop of players out of the transfer portal, but yet they're not getting that type of respect. So on the surface, you look and you say, well, they don't have a lot coming back. They didn't add a lot in the transfer portal. They didn't get a Jordan Seaton or a Sam Levitt or some of these guys. And it makes you kind of question where they're at. But if you actually dive into the roster, there are 100% questions. I'm not going to tell you that the offensive line's in great shape and they're going to be fantastic, but there's a lot of potential. There's a lot of options. And I think that if things come together correctly, which I don't think everything will come together the way that you would hope that it would, I'm sure in some of these areas, it'll end up being, you know, worse than we think or not, you know, living up to the standard that we had hoped or expected. But I think overall, it's still one of the most talented rosters in college football. And despite the fact that for whatever reason, people have kind of been out a little bit on Kalen DeBoer as a coach, and then there's a reason that all these programs were coming after him in the offseason. He's still a really good head coach. It's still a really good coaching staff overall. And so I'm not telling you that it's going to be, you know, I'm guaranteeing a top 10 type of team and they're going to be competing for a national championship. Certainly think they have that capability. But I at the same time, seeing them in the middle of the SEC, I'm with you. You got to look at the people who are ahead of them. There was nobody that I can recall. I don't have the list in front of me that was just egregiously bad. But I do think that if I had to guess, I'd probably put Alabama closer to that 5 range rather than 7. But I hold no ill will towards, you know, Chris for coming up with that list, because I think that, you know, there's nothing malicious going on there, in my opinion.
No, not at all. And the list, real quick, just as a refresher for you and our listeners, it was Texas number 1. We all know the roster that they have. If you want to argue they always have a good roster but don't live up to the hype that they get, I have no problem with that, but there's no denying they've got some dudes on that football team this season. Georgia was number 2, Ole Miss 3, Oklahoma 4, A&M 5, LSU 6, and then Alabama at number 7. So like you said, I mean, I could maybe make an argument. I feel like Oklahoma's a little high on there at 4, maybe. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people are buying into LSU just because of the additions, which I'll be the first one to tell you. I think they have some good football players on that roster. But I do believe there are going to be some first-year challenges. Not to mention, they had a pretty tough schedule. I would almost go as far as saying their schedule might be even more of a challenge than what Alabama has. So I think there's definitely going to be some challenges for Lane Kiffin and company this upcoming season. But Clint, mentioning, you know, recruiting in this roster, I'm at a point where I'm trying to wonder if maybe I'm overthinking some. But here's my question for you. Do you feel like when you look at the way we're putting together a roster here, at times it feels like we're leaning a little bit more into trying to get best bang for our buck and maybe could be a little bit more aggressive? The reason I'm finding myself thinking that is we were talking about the edge position in terms of recruiting. And I know you did a good breakdown of kind of where this team is going to be at next football season, but I look at the wolf spot and I feel like they're going to be pretty thin. And right now, the only guy that I've heard, and again, I'm not a recruiting expert, so I'm sure there's probably more guys on their radar and more guys could come up. But there's one guy that I was recommended to watch. I think he was one of their top targets. It might have been Antoine Jackson's name. I might be mixing him up with somebody else. Long story short, I watched the tape, Clinton. He just really felt like a developmental guy. And yes. I couldn't help but just notice somebody played the position. I'm just going to be completely honest with you. The tape was not great. And I said, let me compare him to some of these other edge guys in the class. I looked at like the top 3 guys, and I'll be the first one to tell you that there was a clear difference between those guys as football players and this young man. My point in being is, knowing that the position at Wolf is going to be thin next year, I do believe Xavier Griffin ends up moving over there some and playing a little bit more, even if it's in passing situations. Him and Justin Hill, I think, would be great. Even the guy they signed this past season, I like him a lot. Do you feel like sometimes it feels like we're not aggressive enough in certain positions of needs? Because I look at this defense, I think one of the key areas they need to improve on is pass rush. And sometimes I'm like, are we being a little bit too relaxed when it comes to those key areas, but then being aggressive at like quarterback and receiver? Or do you think maybe their plan is, hey, they're going to put a lot more money into the portal this upcoming season? Even the last year's portal class They got a lot of people, but they still felt they're more kind of like best bang for your buck type things. What do you think the philosophy is in terms of kind of them putting this roster together moving forward?
Well, I think it's a lot of different things. Number one, I think the fact that you have signed two large high school recruiting classes, the goal was retaining a lot of those guys. They, so far, they've done a really good job with that. And you're starting to see some of those, you know, investments really start to pay off. The way that they approach the high school recruiting, in my opinion, if you're going to be one of those five-star guys, those premier guys, and, you know, you've got people out here handing them seven-figure offers, it's not necessarily that they're not willing or able to pay it, but they've got to feel like they're going to get, if they're going to hand you $1 million in NIL, they want to feel like they're getting $1 million in 2027. They don't want to have a guy sit on the bench, pay him seven-figure money, be more of a developmental type where it's like, yeah, this guy's got rare traits. I think he's going to be a really good player in due time. But then you invest that money, and typically when it's those types of players and they want money, like money is the primary for them, then money is going to continue to be the primary for them. And when you've got people reaching out, you know, even before the season is over, but especially when the season's over, trying to get them in the portal, what you already paid them, you know, was pretty much a waste. Like, great, you ended up having a great fourth string, you know, Wolf linebacker, or maybe your practice squad was a little bit better because of the talent he brings to the table, but you got next to nothing from him his first year on campus. So that's money kind of down the drain in a way, because you're also trying to fight to get that or keep that player, essentially re-recruit him. You got to pay him more money, just like you probably would if he was, you know, entering the or if he was already in the transfer portal and you were trying to bring him in. And so from their perspective, if you've noticed Dejon Lee, I mean, there's been so many different guys. Keelan Russell, quarterback, it's a little bit different. I think they do very much believe developmental, get them on, kind of stack as much as you can, avoid having to go to the transfer portal because it's the most expensive position. But otherwise, a lot of these guys that they have paid up for, they've gotten some sort of contributions from those guys pretty early on. And so if they're looking at a guy like KJ Green, for example, love the talent, think he's going to be a really, really good player in due time, they are not going to hand him seven-figure money and then watch him sit on the bench behind, you know, Justin Hill and maybe Jamarian Matthews. And I do think that right now they're looking to spend a little bit more in the transfer portal because they really feel like how they built things, 2027 is going to be a really strong year for them. A lot of those high school classes are going to be in year three and year two. And so they're going to want to, you know, I'm not saying they're going to be taking swings at the Jordan Seatons and those types of players, the Damon Wilsons, but maybe those types of guys where it's not all about the money, but you want to be in a very respectful range as far as your offer. They can be a little bit more competitive, get more of those guys, and hopefully put them over the top a little bit in 2027. That's at least been from what I've heard and the conversations I've had on top of just kind of looking at it. You look at the roster and you say they're probably only investing. There's 85. There were 85 scholarships. Now there's 105. But I don't even think they're investing NIL, you know, money in 85 guys. I think more so you're looking at about 60 to 65. And when you look at all the high school recruits that they've signed and retained, that's a huge chunk of it. A lot of the transfer portal players, I don't think they wanted to go get a one-year guy for 2026. Now, granted, if that player helps, I mean, they will. Devin Tompkins is a one-year guy. But guys like Rayson Delgado, where it's like, hey, he might take a little time to adjust the SEC, but where he's really going to be strong is after a year in our system, a year playing in the SEC. Now you look at 2027, he's going to be a guy who, I mean, I'd be shocked if he wasn't back in 2027, and he's ready to rock and roll. He's better prepared, you know, next year than he is this year. Like, everything seems to be – I'm not saying they're specifically putting all of their eggs in the 2027 basket. They're going to be competitive in 2026 to some extent, but I think they all realize 2027 has a chance to be a really good year for us. And, you know, with the amount that they've already promised to the high school players and some of the transfer portal guys who are multi-year players, they don't have a lot of spots, and B, I think they want to be a lot more selective and be a lot more competitive in the portal, which will help them get over the top. So that's just, we'll have to wait and see. If they get into 2027 and they kind of take the same approach with the transfer portal and stuff, anybody that wants to come and say, Clint, you were completely wrong, hey, I'll be right there saying I was. I have no problem doing that. But it just seems like that's more so where the focus is going to be. And that doesn't mean that they're shifting their focus permanently to the transfer portal rather than high school. That's just for like this 2027 cycle with how things are set up. And I think they'll be right back to getting after it in 2028.
And if that is, in fact, the approach that is taken, I stand 100% with you. I think that is the key approach, because that's kind of what I've been describing as, in my opinion, probably the best balance that you can have. You recruit your core players via high school. You build a strong foundation, right? You get guys like the Xavier Browns, the Michael Carrolls, these recruits, you know, Dejon Lee, that are good football players. You retain them, you develop them. And then, of course, you patch holes via the transfer portal. And like you said, a lot of those core players that they got, they'll be, you know, third-year players going into 2027. And if you can just patch some holes there via the portal and get some quality players via the portal, I think that's about probably the best, one of the best, I guess, philosophies that you can have. I guess for me, just that concern is, like you said, we'll only know once we get to that point, right? So down the road, we'll have a better idea of their approach there. But knowing how they addressed the portal this past season, for example, I bring up the edge spot because I think it's just really important. It's one of those positions that you really got to invest there. And it was one of those things where I felt we missed out on a couple guys. Remember the guy from Tennessee, which I get it. Yep. He was going to cost a lot. But I think, like, next year, like you said, like, you're going to probably need an extra body in there, right? Like, you're going to need at least at that spot. And hopefully they're willing to spend that at something for a guy like that, because I think it'll be key. But what you're describing sounds like a cycle, right? Like, you know, a year or so, you're leaning heavy into high school recruiting, building that core foundation. And then a year or two down the road, big portal, not big, but, you know, a little bit more aggressive in the portal. Maybe it's kind of on and off, rinse and repeat. Is that kind of what you're envisioning?
100%. And to me, where are they still doing extremely well? The quarterback recruiting, because I think it's a different philosophy. I think every single year they're going to want to stack. And if they can, I think the approach is get that guy at the top that we think's got superstar potential, the Keelan Russells, the Elijah Havens. But then you also complement that with a second guy, if you can. You know, Jet Tomlin ended up being a five-star, you know, like a Tayden Kawa, or, you know, a guy like, you know, Trent Seaborn, who I think has got a lot of potential in his own right. But the quarterback is the side of it where I don't think they're taking years off, because they're recruiting the high school guys. They believe in their ability to develop those players, get them in the system, keep them in the system. And there's a trust there that they build with that spot, you know, probably more so than any of the rest. But I would be floored if they didn't go after a bare minimum, a Jordan Ross type of pass rusher in the transfer portal in this next cycle. Not somebody that's necessarily going to come in and start over Justin Hill, but can be a nice complimentary piece to him, be a second option. You have Jamarian Matthews. You can maybe play a guy like Xavier Griffin there some, like you said. So I think if they do that, if they can secure that type of player, I'd be fine with it. But that is going to be something that I can sit here and speculate all I want to. We won't know for sure until that transfer portal window opens up and we see how they attack it before we really know if what we were kind of predicting is what comes to fruition.
And I'm sure they have an idea on what they need to do and kind of what they have, but that would make plenty of sense, kind of a little bit of a cycle, kind of like you're explaining. And I think that would make sense for a lot of fans that way when they look at the, because I just pulled up for like number 33 right now, and I see everybody freaking out over those rankings. But when you look at it from that lens, it probably makes a little bit more sense for people. So hopefully that helps settle some nerves. Clint, man, we appreciate you joining us, man. As always, good to catch up with you. And please tell everybody how to keep up with you and all the good work that you guys are doing.
Yeah, you can find me on the Cover Crimson YouTube channel. We have a daily show over there. Also, if you'd like to listen to podcasts, just search the Cover Crimson Podcast Network on Apple or Spotify, or wherever you listen. And then if you want to, you can follow along with me at Clint R. Lamb on Twitter. Christian, as always, brother, I appreciate you having me on, and I look forward to next week.
Yes, sir. Always a pleasure, brother. Take care, man.
You too, buddy.
Yes, sir. Good deal. All right, we got to hit a timeout. We come back. We wrap things up on this Thursday Blitz edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Thursday edition of The Game, starting at 2 p.m., we'll talk to Lance Cormier, former Alabama pitcher. Scott McClanahan, we'll talk with him about the road to Omaha. We'll talk to Rodney Orr, TiderInsider.com, and Bill Bender from the Sporting News College Football Guide. We'll do that starting at 2 p.m. here on The Game on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
longest-running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2...
Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Find adventure, power, and performance today at Tuscaloosa Jeep Dodge Ram.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9...
We're winning business solutions at bofa.com/gamechangers. Bank of America, official bank of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are sharing.
That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Meet your match on ZipRecruiter.
100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast. Sunny, dangerously hot here this afternoon, with highs in the mid-90s. Heat index values near 105. Southwest winds light. Tonight, warm and muggy. Clear skies, 75. Friday, intense heat persists with sunshine, mid-90s. Slight chance of afternoon thunderstorms tomorrow. Better shot at storms as we move into Saturday. Saturday's high, mid-90s. Richard DeWetting of the Weather Channel for Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
It's 93 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
A national championship team covering a national championship team. The best sports talk in the state. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Real quick, as we wrap things up on this Thursday edition, big thanks to all you guys making it possible, and big thanks to our friends over at LamproLow-Law.com. Make sure you guys check them out for all your criminal defense matters, academic misconduct, NIL, you name it, plus all the services that they offer as well. We'll hear from our guy Adam Lamparello tomorrow here on the show, get his thoughts on all these latest updates. But in the meantime, check them out, LamproLow-Law.com, academic career planning for high school, college graduate students, you name it, they've got you covered for a very affordable rate. You can't beat it right there at Lamparello Law Education Advocacy. That'll do it for us on this Thursday edition. We'll be back tomorrow for a free-for-all Friday. Same time, same place. We'll see you guys then.